Good evening and welcome to the 19th District Live Telephone Town Hall. My name is Billy and I'll be moderating tonight's call. Thanks for taking the time to join us. We hope you find this call informative. In a moment, I'll turn the phone over to State Representatives Dean Tacco and Brian Blake and Senator Brian Hatfield for some opening remarks. But first, I want to explain the format for tonight's call. If you would like to ask a question, just press star 3 on your phone, and you'll be connected with a staff person who will take your question and get you into the queue to speak directly with your lawmakers. Please note that this is a live question and answer session. By pressing star 3 on your phone, you will have an opportunity to speak directly with your legislators. We'd like to get through as many of your questions as possible during the call, so we will have to limit participants to only one question each. Pressing star 3 right now is all you need to do to ask your question. And now I'll turn it over to your lawmakers from the 19th Legislative District, Senator Brian Hatfield, Representative Brian Blake, and Representative Dean Tacco.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us. This is State Senator Brian Hatfield. We were asked to just do brief intros. I hope most of you hanging on the line already know who we are, but just in case, I guess a short bio on myself. I'm state senator now since 2006. I served in the House of Representatives prior to that for 10 years, so this is my 18th session as a legislator. Live in Raymond, kind of the center geographically of the district, and I chair the Senate Agriculture, Water, and Rural Economic Development Committee, as well as serving on the Financial Institutions, Housing and Insurance, and Ways and Means Committees.
Hello, good evening. This is State Representative Brian Blake. I live in Aberdeen with my wife, Deborah, and I am chair of the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee. I also sit on the Government Accountability and Oversight Committee and the Business and Financial Services Committee, and glad to be here tonight.
And this is Dean Tacco, State Representative. And I live in Longview, and I chair the Local Government Committee and also sit on the Transportation Committee and the Public Safety Committee.
All right. Thank you, guys. And as a reminder, you're on the line with your 19th District lawmakers, Senator Brian Hatfield, Representative Brian Blake, and Representative Dean Tacco. First, we're going to talk to Bruce. Bruce has a question about property tax. Bruce?
Yes, I'd like to know if they could introduce a bill allowing people to make payments on their property tax. People with a very limited income, like me, a senior citizen, have a very hard time coming up with $250 to $500 all at once.
Thank you, Bruce. This is Senator Hatfield again. You know, I had a bill on this very subject in past sessions, and we were unable to get it all the way through the process, but depending on where you live, in Pacific County, for example, the treasurer there actually works with folks and with the banks as well to set up accounts to where they can pay, sort of pay in on a monthly basis, and the treasurer can, you know, again, work with the bank account to take that out every 6 months. So in Pacific County, I think it works just because of the lower number of folks. I think it might be more of a problem in larger counties. But I think that the issue is, the solution is to work with your bank and work with the county treasurer.
Yeah, this has been something that we've heard over the years a number of times, and it probably is a little easier to do in smaller counties, like Senator Hatfield said. One of the problems is in some of the counties, the treasurers kind of push back a bit on this because the more payments you get, the more work you have to do. And so instead of getting two payments a year, and there are some provisions being floated around to make that three or maybe even four, it's just instead of having to do the administrative work two times a year, you got to do it 12 times a year. So I'm certainly not adverse to it, but it's have its issues, and I'm more than willing to look at it.
Yeah, this is Representative Blake. I think it's a great idea, and I think, frankly, it would benefit the counties in that it would smooth out their revenues. But thanks for the idea.
All right. Thanks, guys. And, folks, I know you have lots of questions about the state budget, education, transportation, healthcare. Go ahead and press *3 right now on your phone, *3 to ask your lawmakers a question. We'll go ahead and move on to Terry. Terry has a question about business. Terry, you're on the line.
Yes, I'm just curious why Washington State repeatedly, year after year, has extreme high business taxes, much so to draw businesses away from the state instead of bringing, during these hard times, bringing the taxes down to draw business into the state so we can employ more people and be able to pay more taxes to the state and benefit everybody.
Well, one of the problems we have in this state is, at least for me, is that we have a B&O tax, which is a gross receipts tax, and I've never really liked it. It doesn't matter how profitable you are, you're going to pay a high tax on your gross. And I would love to see the B&O tax go away and replace it with something else. And we've had proposals over the years to do something like that, but every time we start looking that way, the general public, when they've had a chance to vote or at least weigh in on the legislature, they're happier with the devil they know than the devil they don't know, which is, you know, the tax system we have today. They're comfortable with that, and they're afraid of what we might replace a tax system with. And if we had a chance to do something to replace the B&O taxes, some other tax, I'd be more than happy to look at it.
All right, and folks, you're on the line with your 19th District lawmakers, Senator Brian Hatfield, Representative Brian Blake, and Representative Dean Tacko. If you'd like to ask them a question, you should go ahead and press *3 on your phone now. Next, we're going to talk to Andy. Andy has a question about teacher COLAs. Andy, you're on the line.
I'd just like to hear what their thoughts are on teacher COLAs that have been, passed as law and then taken back over several years now.
Yeah, I think all three of us are sponsors of bills to restore the COLA this year. I'm hopeful that we're going to do something. I think it's important that we do act and show good faith that we're going to meet our constitutional mandate and provide those COLAs.
Well, we struggled over the years with our budget, and unfortunately I didn't like it, but, you know, we've had to postpone the COLAs. I'm certainly in support this year. We've got to eventually do something. I always kind of go with a proposition that you get what you pay for, and if we don't start getting the teacher pay up there, and particularly due to COLAs, there isn't much incentive for good people to go into education, and I want to have some good people interested in going into education, and pay is what's going to do it.
Yes, we got a meeting with, or we had a meeting with teachers prior to session in the Grace Harbor area, and you know, their number one issue wasn't COLAs. They talked a lot about, as you would expect, they talked about class size, talked about testing. But you could also tell that, the teachers have been beat up over the last several years, and especially during the recession. I think now at a time when we're finally climbing out of the recession, although it might not feel like it in our corner of the state, I think the state is financially, you're looking at approximately a $58 million price tag in this biennium. Certainly there's a bow wave attached to that in future biennium, but I think the time is right, and as Representative Blake mentioned, the bill has at least 52 co-sponsors in the House of Representatives, so more than the 50 required. Over on the Senate side, the entire Senate Democratic Caucus signed on to the bill, so we had 22 sponsors. Then we were joined by Representative Leas, who replaced a retiring senator, but now it's Senator Leas, to give us 23 votes. And then actually one Republican signed on to the bill. So we now have 24 votes in support of the COLA in the Senate. We need just one more. So if you have friends in other legislative districts represented by Republican senators, you might want to give them a call and ask them to join on and support it.
All right. And I know I sound like a bit of a broken record here, but go ahead and press *3 on your phone if you have a question for your lawmakers. Next, we're going to talk to Richard. Richard has a question about a proposed minimum wage hike. Richard, you're on the line.
Yes, this is Rick Von Rock here. Hi, guys.
Hello.
As we're Yeah. As we're looking at the potential HB 2762, I've heard a lot of discussion this evening on ways to try to better our state. What better way of generating revenue so people could spend more and pay more taxes than increasing the minimum wage through this bill here? What's all three of your opinions on it?
Well, generally I support, I worked on the previous minimum wage initiative, but, you know, I met with some folks today and you know, where do we find the money in the state budget is a concern. And so generally support increasing minimum wages, but have concerns about our ability to pay for it this year.
Go ahead.
Well, this is Representative Tacko, and I don't have a philosophical problem with raising the minimum wage. It's just how much and do we need to tie that to the average wage in an area. Certainly a minimum wage in Seattle and King County might need to be something different than it is in maybe some rural district where the cost of living is less, because it will have an impact on employees. And I've been going around my community and talking to some of the employers of small businesses outside of the fast food and that kind of business that was looking for it up in SeaTac, and some of them are very concerned about what it would do with the number of employees they have. They flat out say, I can't, if it takes a huge increase, certainly up to $15, they're saying, I can't afford to have the number of people that I have and basically go up to $15. So, I'd say I'm sympathetic and willing to look at it, but just how much in various areas of the state.
Senator Hatfield, I agree with the representatives. I'd have a hard time supporting it at this time. We at $9.32 an hour, we have the highest minimum wage in the country with a built-in inflator. And so, it sounds cliche, but we are number one with a bullet in Washington State. And this is a time when we need to be focusing on education and transportation, I think, for the 2014 session. So to kind of clutter that debate with talk about raising the minimum wage, we can't get much better than number one in the country. And I would add that I visited with folks as well, folks who provide in-home care for the disabled, and they had concerns, surprise, surprise, about raising the minimum wage because it's basically a mandate on employers, and oftentimes without the funding to go along with it. If you're an agency that provides in-home care and gets most of your reimbursement from the state and federal governments, the mandate is great. They certainly want to see higher wages for their employees, but if they can't pay it, they're in the same boat as some of the small businesses that Representative Blake spoke of.
Well, this is Representative Tacko again. One of the things that we also have to take into consideration is we're looking at a number of bills that affect employers, such as paid sick leave, paid time off, a number of those types of things. Which one do we do? Which one don't we do? We certainly, in one swoop, we can't pass all of these bills. So is paid sick leave more important than minimum wage? I think we have to look at the whole package of what we're doing for employees and employers.
All right, folks, thanks for being on the call tonight. You're with Representative Brian Blake, Representative Dean Tacko, and Senator Brian Hatfield. If you'd like to ask them a question, go ahead and press *3 on your phone. Next, we're going to talk to Francis. Francis has a question about marijuana. Francis, you're on the line. Francis, are you there? Francis, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, go ahead and ask your question.
Great.
You can go ahead and ask.
Oh, what are we going to do about this cannabis thing in Philly County? How many people is it really going to involve? And who's going to provide the police protection? And the county sheriff is right now is stretched to the limit, in fact, over the limit. And he can't even give us physically 24 hours full-time protection, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. So how are we going to subsidize them? That sheriff needs help.
You know, there is a high tax level on the marijuana, and it's certainly, you know, the voters voted to have recreational marijuana. And if that's the will of the people, whether I agree or not, I think we have to abide by the will of the people on this vote. And, you know, one of the concerns that a lot of us have, including the sheriffs, is how do we fund, you know, the extra law enforcement it's going to take. And I am more than happy to divert as much as it probably takes to get some of that tax money back into the local sheriffs and police chiefs to try and keep some kind of control under this and make it work.
Francis, Senator Hatfield, and you know, personally, I voted against the initiative, and it was for law enforcement concerns, mainly under specifically the issue of driving while impaired and how that would be decided, whether it's constitutional to take have a blood test or not. And again, right now, before the initiative passed, there was that fine bright line, marijuana use was illegal. So if it was detected, if it was smelled, you had an issue with the driver. Now it's going to be difficult to understand that. So for that reason and for those arguments, it was one that I personally voted no, but this was an initiative passed by the voters. And so it's kind of surprising now to see as you look at the vote, the statewide vote, or break it down county by county, obviously a lot of people voted yes on this, and now we have people saying, well, but not in my backyard. And so Pacific County, specifically where I live, I have not heard yet on the specific issue from Sheriff Johnson. If he feels like he's going to need some more assistance, there is as most people know, I think there's a grow operation that's trying to get the permits at the port of Willapa Harbor in Raymond. I don't think most people would even notice it was a business, whether it was a winery, a distillery, a brewery, a furniture manufacturer. I don't think they're going to notice any other difference. Certainly on the retail end and the use, there's issues that county by county and city by city folks are going to want to deal with. But again, this was what the people voted for. And as Representative Tacko said, it should move forward as the voters requested.
Yeah, this is Representative Blake. The voters have spoken, but I have signed on to a couple of bills that would dedicate some of the revenue that they believe will come in under the marijuana to local government. And I think we've got to do that for this and many other reasons. Our local jails are burdened with other issues also, mental health issues, and we've got to find resources to help our local communities.
Well, another issue that's come up is all the moratoriums that are going on in the cities, various cities and counties. And, of course, the Attorney General opined the other day that they can do moratoriums. And I'm not so sure that that's the right way to go. And I'm sure if we don't do something legislatively, there will be lawsuits regarding that. But I just don't think that we should have a patchwork across the state of, this was a statewide initiative. And, you know, you shouldn't have a patchwork of one county, one city has it, the next one doesn't. You know, it should be consistent across the state. And, you know, whatever that is, it should be consistent. And I'm more than willing to, you know, look at the legislation to make it that way.
All right. Thank you, guys. Next, we're going to talk to Terry in Ocean Park. Terry, you're on the line.
Oh, hello. What I'd like to know is, what about this proposed legislation on gun control? I want to know what is going to be done to restrict my rights to own and carry firearms.
Well, the initiative is going to be heard tomorrow in judiciary, both 591. The pro-gun initiative and 594, the anti-gun initiative. And I don't think you'll see either one of them be voted out of the legislature, and you'll probably see them on your November ballot. And I intend to oppose the 594, and I think it's actually flawed law, and hope that the people don't pass it.
Well, I would agree with Representative Blake, this is Representative Tackle, that you know, we have two competing initiatives. I don't think necessarily we need to do anything in the legislature. I think we need to just send it out to the ballot next fall and let the people decide which one of those two initiatives they support.
I would agree with the representative, and just personally, I will be voting no on 594 and yes on 591. So, and encourage others to do the same for what it's worth. Thank you.
And I would agree with that.
All right. And if you're just joining us tonight on the call, you are talking to your lawmakers from the 19th Legislative District, Senator Brian Hatfield, Representative Brian Blake, and Representative Dean Tacko. Next, we are going to talk to Lori. Lori has a question about transportation. Lori, you're on the line.
Hi. I'm wondering why there is even a consideration to raise the gas taxes by 10 cents a gallon for everybody in the state to pay for the roads to be fixed in Seattle-Tacoma-Everett area.
Okay. Well, this is Senator Hatfield again. It actually, you know, this is an issue that is long before my time in the legislature, and I used to work for Senator Sitznider and his predecessor, Senator Arlie DeJarnett. We now represent a portion of Lewis County, but for the most part, it's been Pacific, Wakayakum, Grape Harbor, and Calhoun counties. And for the most part, over all those years and prior to my time in Olympia, our counties receive far more than is generated in gas tax revenue in the counties. So every time I hear the argument that why are our gas tax dollars going to pay for projects in Puget Sound, I cringe a little bit, because they're not. As a matter of fact, we're getting quite a bit of money. In some years, Wakayakum County, with the county ferry there that's subsidized by the state, gets over $7 for every $1 generated in Wakayakum. Pacific County is consistently $3 or $4 for every $1. The larger counties, the urban counties, if you will, Grace Harbor and Calhoun, sometimes break even, sometimes do much better. And so again, that argument, I think, doesn't really hold a lot of water, unfortunately. I think you know, you can argue why a gas tax now, why 10 cents, why 12 cents. I feel like we kind of are in a downward spiral in transportation revenue. There are very many infrastructure improvements that need to take place. Some that have, many of the bridges have been replaced in our part of the state over the last few years with past gas tax packages. But unfortunately, the revenue just isn't keeping up with the demand. And I fear the day, and actually it may be coming soon, because King County is putting out some of their own proposals to fund transportation. But if the urban counties decide that they're going to keep the money they raise and not distribute it out through the rest of the state through a statewide plan, we could have a lot of, and I'm not joking when I say this, we could have a lot of gravel roads in the 19th Legislative District.
Well, I think he brings up, this is Representative Tackle again, I think Senator Hatfield brings up a good point in that if you look right now, there's five bridges being built in Pacific County alone that probably to the tune of about $50 million more or less, and there's no way that Pacific County has paid that kind of money in gas tax to justify having $50 million spent on these bridges. And so, you know, I agree with him on the fact that, you know, we don't want to get to a point where every county kind of takes care of their own state highways. With that said, there are some other reasons to support some of these projects that are in other areas, because we have to get our products, whether they're crab coming out of El Waco or cranberries coming out of the Grace Harbor in Long Beach area, we've got to get them to the market. And you know, if we don't have some good roads and get rid of some of this congestion, it costs truckers money to sit there and let their trucks idle as they're trying to get to market. So, you know, it's sometimes it's hard to understand why we need to build out the State Route 167 into the Port of Tacoma and some of these projects, but they do support jobs that are down in our area. I am a little frustrated that we're not getting as much money in some of the proposed packages that have been thrown out there for these gas taxes down in our area, but in the past we have gotten a lot of money out of the gas tax, and so I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, this is Representative Blake. I agree with what my colleagues have said, but also understand that the proposals out there are not strong enough for me to support right now voting for a gas tax at this time.
And, you know, the other thing that we have to bring into the discussion is, will we have a gas tax? And, you know, I think the consensus is starting to build both inside the legislature and outside the legislature with quite a number of people. It's going to be tough to get a gas tax through this year. There's just too many things in play. Senate Majority Caucus wants some certain things that probably aren't going to happen, and without those happening, they don't vote. If they do happen, you're going to have trouble getting the votes in the House. Plus, there's people that just don't feel comfortable voting for taxes generally, so it's going to be a big push to actually get a gas package or a transportation package based on a gas tax increase through this session.
So, Maury, I get that. I guess the answer is you can rest easy for this session, because I share my colleague's concern that probably nothing is going to pass this year. And certainly, I think all three of us, if we didn't see the kind of investment in Southwest Washington that we need to see, we would be a strong nose on the package, but certainly support it if the projects were there for the 432-433 interchange, for example. Or, you know, in Great Harbor County, there's a bridge between Aberdeen and Holcomb that it's ready to fall into the river, and that would be certainly wouldn't be a statewide situation where when Interstate 5 is shut down, but it could be devastating to the economy in Grace Harbor if that bridge has to close. So there are definitely some serious needs out there.
All right, and we are about halfway through our call tonight, so if you have questions about the state budget, education, transportation, anything really, go ahead and press *3 on your phone now. Next, we are going to talk to Rita. Rita has a question about mental health. Rita, you're on the line.
Hi. I met with Representative Tackle and Representative Blake recently on mental health, or Martin Luther King Day, about mental health for SEIU. I think that this is really a critical time for the mental health system in this state, and I'm just hoping that there is going to be something in the budget to increase mental health services, and also to increase the wages for the mental health workers. I hear the discussion about the teachers' COLA, and I totally support that, but I also support COLAs for the mental health workers as well, because the last time the legislation gave us money for across-the-board raises was 7 years ago, and we haven't had a COLA yet. And yet, the education requirements keep being raised for mental health workers by the state, which is very costly for the education. It's actually higher for most positions than it is for teachers, and yet we're paid at an extremely lower rate. So the same principles apply to attract good people into the mental health system. That I think everybody acknowledges is broken. I think that really needs to be a priority.
Well, I think it's a priority in our caucus. You know, we put $35 million in last year into mental health, but, you know, we certainly can put a lot more in, or there is a need. I sit on the board of a nonprofit mental health provider, so I'm a little bit more aware than some people might be of what the need is out there. You know, it's a big problem. 70% or more of the people in our jails have a mental issue. you know, and the thing that's kind of frustrating for me right now is with the McCleary decision of how much money we have to pump into schools or into education, we're starting to pit one group against another. It's mental health versus education. It's senior citizens versus education. And there's only so much money to go around. Raising revenue is just about impossible. And so, you know, it's a struggle to find the money to put in, and there's certainly a need and a lot of issues out there in the mental health arena, such as the feds, you know, and they're coming down, you know, we may have to go to competitive bidding, so to speak, on mental health providers. I don't know where that's going, and it's, you know, that could have some bearing on how this goes. Mental health is a huge issue. I want to do some more for it, but everybody competes for the same money.
Yeah, it was nice to see you that day. And as we talked about, our cities are being impacted, our counties are being impacted, and people are suffering and not getting the services. And so we've got to find a way to deliver the services better and open up evaluation from Western State. You know, the one idea I came up with, maybe we could have the doctors evaluate using technology from Western State to the local communities and resolve some of these issues quicker and give people the services. These are people that are suffering, and the longer we keep them in that situation, the longer they suffer, and we've got to do a better job. This is unacceptable.
Rita, you mentioned, you know, the teacher COLA, and that's one area we don't want to get into. We don't want to get into pitting education funding against mental health funding. I hear with the Republican caucus in the Senate, that's exactly what's happening. I think you saw some of the proposals for that in last year's budget. And it's very difficult. We now have a lawsuit, the McCleary decision that kind of puts education funding at the head of the line, if you will. And it's unfortunate, but it's kind of what's in front of us as a legislature right now. And so we will be looking at education funding, but at the same time, I think you've got a lot more folks like Representative Tacko and Representative Blake that fully understand the problem and don't want to see, you know, more folks in jail beds simply because they have a mental health issue that needs attention. So appreciate the reminder.
All right. Thank you, Senator Hatfield. Next, we are going to talk to Jerry. Jerry has a question about state parks. Jerry, you're on the line.
Yes, I realize that everybody's competing for the same dollar, but I feel that the state parks have been neglected. That's the one thing that people from lower income parts of our population can enjoy without damaging their budget. And now they have to pay $40 a year to use those parks. And I think that's excessive for people of lower income. I'm wondering why they can't put a tax on soda and candy. I know that was voted down by the voters, but I think we're explaining to the population. Nobody needs soda and nobody needs candy. Those are things you can do without. And if you want them badly enough, you can pay your money for them. But I think that tax would raise the money for the state parks that are being neglected.
Well, thank you for the topic. This is Representative Blake, and I'm a big fan of our state parks, and that's one of the reasons I voted to put those issues out there to raise revenue. But the voters spoke, and I don't think you'll see the will in this legislature to put those items out there again in the near future. I share your concerns. The revenues are up on the Discover Pass. It's my understanding that it's a maximum of $35. That's still a lot of money, but it's a huge value. for what you get. It's what it is the what we call the Montana model that they instituted many years ago in Montana. And while I was unhappy that we were in a situation where we had to enact that, I think that's the system we have at this point, and I don't see that going away in the near future.
Well, you know, we try to tax a couple of cents on bottled water and pop and beer, and the voters voted it down. So to think that we could go back again and try it is probably not realistic. I use parks a lot, and I've always been a supporter of, and I've always said that if there's two things that ought to be free, it's a library and a park, so anybody can get recreation and go and get the knowledge that they need for whatever they're doing. But you know, the budgets are tight. We had to do something, and I did not like voting for the fee, but it was getting down to pretty much that or nothing. And our parks are in, you know, kind of in sad shape. I get around to them around the state in different places, and it kind of breaks my heart to see what's there, especially as we approach the 100th anniversary of our park system. But, you know, if I could find a way to get some money dedicated to parks that could actually pass, I'd be more than willing to go there.
Yeah, thanks again for the question, Jerry. It's, you know, I signed on to a bill, I don't know how many, about four or six years ago now, that we called a penny for parks. So we were trying to get 1 cent off the state property tax levy and dedicate that to parks. We tried all kinds of different funding sources before a lot of folks came up with the Discover Pass. It certainly has its flaws, but I guess the silver lining, if you will, is an indication that there is support for funding parks, and there's you know, a lot of legislators trying to come up with creative ways to do that. But as you mentioned when you started your question, it is competing. Parks are competing with a lot of other worthwhile things that the state does for funding.
All right. Thank you for your answers, guys. Next, we're going to talk to George. George has a question about unemployment on the harbor. George, you're on the line.
Thank you. I used to be an employee at Harbor Paper, and before that, Grace Harbor Paper, and before that, ITT Rainier Grace Harbor Paper. And it seems like everybody is always willing to do all kinds of things, but nothing gets done for employment. Family wage jobs on the harbor have disappeared, and everybody knows it. And you can just barely live on unemployment. Frankly, myself, my own opinion, I do not trust anybody in Olympia, but I'll be willing to sit down and talk with anybody over a cup of coffee anytime they want.
This is Representative Blake. I live down there in Aberdeen, and be glad to have a cup of coffee with you. Call my office at 786-7870, and it may not be right away. We're in session up here, but be happy to do that and hear your ideas. And I share your frustration. I lived in behind the abandoned sawmill there in South Aberdeen, and so I've seen the change in the neighborhood. The empty houses, the businesses that are struggling, working, you know, it's a broad question. I think energy costs have gone up. I think manufacturing has become somewhat less attractive in the country. And so we have to do things that attract those good family wage jobs back. I think trying to keep energy costs down. I think that infrastructure. And we're going through a rough cycle. I think you're going to see our timberlands, private timberlands in the area, come back into a higher harvest cycle in about 5 to 10 years, but that doesn't do anything for us right now. We've had some success with getting Cosmo Fiber up and running, and we're working hard to keep that business stable. Hoping in the future to attract another sawmilling operation and some investment in downtown. But you're right, it's a struggle out there. And if you have some ideas, we're all ears.
Yeah, Georgia, you know, and you don't have to tell us, I guess. I mean, I graduated from Raymond High School in 1985, just a few years prior, late 70s. My older sister's class had 78 graduates in it. Mine had 49. And so, and that was, you know, right during, you know, some of the heights and the issues that were happening in the timber industry and the fishing industry. And then we had the spotted owl situation right after that. And so that's why just about everything I devoted my legislative career to centers around jobs and economic development. I know there's folks that oppose the idea of, you know, shipping oil, for example, out of the port of Grace Harbor. I support it because I don't agree. I see signs in yards, whether it's dealing with oil or coal exports, to say we can do better, and I don't believe we can. Again, it's not just Grace Harbor. In Cowlitz County, a very popular and longstanding restaurant at the Monticello Hotel has closed its doors. And we have the domestic violence, the alcoholism, the suicides that are connected to the high unemployment rate. And so there's a lot of us that are going to do everything we can to continue to work on jobs in the area and to continue to support potential businesses. They may not be, the bright shining stars that everyone would love to see, and just about anything is going to have traffic impacts, it's going to have environmental impacts, but, providing good family wage jobs is, I think, more important when you look at how that, helps our provide local taxes and state taxes to pay for that social safety net that a lot of folks have been talking about in earlier calls and questions. So we're with you, and we're going to continue to support economic development.
Hey, this is Representative Tacko, and, I'm more than happy to sit down with you. Maybe you and Representative Blake and I, as you say, we could have coffee together one of these days. Just wait about 6 weeks until our session's over, give our offices a call, and we'll get together with you and listen to some of your ideas. But it is frustrating, and that, it has to be cost-effective before businesses can operate in a place. And, the port's kind of booming right now with its grain elevator and car export. It makes financial sense to do those things, but if it doesn't make financial sense and the infrastructure and the roads aren't there, whatever, people aren't going to come down to Grace Harbor and locate something if it just doesn't make sense. And so probably the best thing we could do is work on road and rail improvements and infrastructure to make it inviting for business to want to come there.
All right. Thank you for your answers, guys. And we have about 15 minutes left on tonight's call. So if you have questions for Dean, Brian, or Brian, go ahead and press *3 on your phone now. Next, we're going to talk to Maxenzia. Maxenzia, you're on the line.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is that what are we going to do to lower the prescription drugs? I'm taking a medication for cancer, which is almost $280 a month. I'm the only single breadwinner in the family. So I'm not struggling yet, but I do not know whether it is going to reach a point that I'm going to try to struggle to make this payment of $280 a month. So that this medication that I'm taking is not a generic drug to kind of lower the cost. So I'm trying to figure out how can we get lower the cost of the prescription drugs.
Okay, not knowing whether you're on Medicaid or have signed up to the Affordable Care Act, if there's something,
Medicare,
I'm kind of hard-pressed to answer the question, unfortunately.
If you could call our offices, I'm at 360-786-7870, and we may need some staff help. We've got great staff up here that may be able to help resolve this.
Yeah, thank you. If we could find out your specific situation, I think we can probably put you in touch with some folks that can help. Certainly understand the cost of cancer drugs.
And Representative Blake, can you repeat your phone number one more time in case you missed it?
Yeah, my office number is 360-786-7870.
All right. Thank you very much. Next, we're going to talk to Bob. Bob, you're on the line.
Hello. Hello,
hey, Bob.
You ready?
Yep, go ahead and ask.
Okay, Brian, what is it going to take to move Southwest Washington from being like Appalachia to a growing environment? Can you answer that? Or got an idea?
Well, I don't think there's one solution. We've got to be thinking in all different sectors. I think infrastructure, one of the things we can do is invest in infrastructure. I think whether it's transportation infrastructure or water treatment or sewage plants or those types of things. There's some, I think Senator Hatfield will talk about the CURB program. So I think there's things we can do to attract industry. And then I think we also have to focus on our tourism industry, and that can be seasonal, but it is a strong component of our economy in Southwest Washington. And frankly, I believe we live in the most beautiful part of the state with our fishing and hunting and just generally our access to the outdoors. And so it's many things. I think we also have to continue to focus on higher education. We have two wonderful colleges with satellite facilities in Lower Columbia Community College and Grays Harbor College. And so it's not just one thing. I think we have to be focused on all these sectors and always open to your ideas.
But I don't think there's one silver bullet that's going to solve the problem of, you know, low or high unemployment and our just general economics of the area. You know, the district really is quite varied. If you go to the one end of the district where I live, we've got Longview and Kelso, where you have freeway, good rail, and deep water ports all come together. You know, they can take one approach, but when you get down into the coastal area, like the Long Beach Peninsula, Westport, and that area, you're not going to get a big industry or a high tech or something like that come in there. You know, you're probably going to have to rely on doing something, as Representative Bright said, with tourism. You know, there's some limitations just physically, but without good infrastructure and education, you're not going to get people moving into any of these places.
Yeah, Representative Blake mentioned CURB, Community Economic Revitalization Board. I serve on that. That provides, you know, small amounts of assistance for infrastructure to try and, you know, kind of land businesses in Washington State, especially in rural Washington. That's just one small piece of it. I think, you know, as we mentioned answering previous questions tonight, you know, continued support for economic development and for jobs. And, you know, a lot of times that runs against folks with strong environmentalist concerns. I'm on a lot of, I guess, hit lists or negative lists from the environmental community, but I do support the jobs, and I don't want our you know, portion of the state to continue to have that high unemployment. But Representative Tackle outlined, you know, the rail line to my hometown, Raymond and South Bend, has been removed. The bay and the river is no longer dredged, so it gets difficult to attract even light manufacturing to the area. Although we continue to try. The other ends of the district, Grays Harbor with the ports and Longview as well. I think we have a much better opportunity, but it's just continuing to be vigilant and to understand and convince more people to understand that that we need jobs, and we need all kinds. I remember there were folks opposed when we were doing everything we could to help Foster Farms locate in Kelso, but they're there now, and they're providing a lot of union jobs for a lot of people who might not otherwise have that. So we're going to keep working towards those ends.
All right. Thanks, guys. Next, we're going to talk to Deborah from Montesano. Deborah, you're on the line.
Hi there. My question is about our state lottery. I don't know if I misunderstood, but in the beginning, my understanding was that the profits and money made from that was to go to support schools and roads, etc. I won't hear much about that anymore. Everybody's hurting for money. Can you tell me, what do we still get monies from the lottery for the schools and stuff?
Yeah, you know, we get, I don't know what the amount of money that comes in these days from the lottery, the profit, so to speak, but it goes into the general fund, and it does go to schools, but it just goes into that great big pot of, you know, our budget's around $30 billion, $33 billion, and it goes into that pot, and so it just kind of gets lost into the budgetary process, so the money's still there, and it's being used for education, but it's certainly not a huge portion. About half of our budget goes to K-12 education, so we get, I don't know, it's something in the 100 million or maybe...
I think it's about $250 million that the lottery raises, and that's just a drop in the budget when you talk about a K-12 education budget that is $12 to $15 billion, I'm figuring. So it does go into education, and it just it never was going to pay for all of K-12 education.
Well, folks, thanks for being on the call tonight. That's all the time we have. I'll hand over the phone to your lawmakers for some closing remarks. But first, I want you to know that if you didn't get a chance to ask your question, you can leave a message for your 19th district legislators at the conclusion of this call. Thanks for joining us tonight. And here are Senator Hatfield, Representative Blake, and Representative Tacko.
All right. Thank you. Senator Hatfield, and thanks to everyone who called in and those who didn't get a chance to ask a question but stuck with us all this time. We do appreciate it. I was actually looking up the lottery funds on my computer, and I see for 2009 they generated about $102 million that went towards education. But again, the state puts in roughly $16 billion biennium to K-12 and higher ed. So $16 billion as opposed to $102 million. So it that's where it goes, but it doesn't able to stretch too far. Again, thanks to everyone for taking part, especially those that have some specific issues, some casework that we'd like to help you with. And we're here. We're available on the legislative hotline by email, by direct calls to our office. And we appreciate the input.
Yes, this is Representative Tacko. Again, thanks for calling in. You know, it's an honor to serve the 19th District. You know, I'm always there if you want to get a hold of me. Use the hotline, email me. Our email and phone numbers are out there on numerous websites. So I'm more than happy to answer your questions.
Yeah, this is Representative Blake, and thanks for calling in tonight. I kind of feel like this has been productive the last 2 years that we've done this, and so please get a hold of our offices. If you have specific issues, we have great staff up here that do some great work, and we need to know your ideas. So thank you very much for calling in tonight.